Welcome to Hour 2 of Sports Saturday on KLBJ with hosts Ed and Ben Clements. They're taking calls at 512-836-0590 or toll-free at 877-590-KLBJ.
Hi again, everybody. I'm Ed Clements, and welcome to the End Zone Club on KLBJ Radio, live from Dirty Martin's place on the drag. We're watching basketball tonight. Purdue with a lead over NC State at halftime, UConn and Bama to follow. The End Zone Club proudly brought to you by Howery, Breen, and Herman, attorneys at law, Plains Capital Bank, Pokey Joe's Barbecue, Sue Patrick at 5222 Burnett Road, and by Dirty Martin's Place. Ed Clements and Ben Clements, Scotty Sears with us, and Ben, you never know who's going to walk into Dirty Martin's, and the most prolific tight end in University of Texas history is at Dirty's this afternoon, having his second milkshake. His name is Jatavion Sanders.
Yes,
Jatavion,
sir.
Welcome to KLBJ Radio. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good. How are y'all?
We are doing good. Tell us about your spring. You were at the Combine. Mm-hmm. You're getting ready for the NFL draft later month. Have you had a good springtime?
Yes, I have. And just enjoying this process, man.
How was the experience being at the Combine?
It was a great experience, you know, just trying to live out a childhood dream, you know. Ever since I started playing football, my dream was to compete at the Combine, compete with other great athletes around the world, so it's just been a dream come true.
Jatavion, you were a junior this past year, had a great season. Was it tough for you to make the decision to leave Texas, knowing, you know, the capabilities of the Horns right now to enter your name in the draft?
Yes, sir. It was pretty much a hard decision. I talked to Guy and my family about it, got some advice from my coaches, you know what I'm saying, but in the end, it was a business decision as well, not only for me, but for my family too. So,
where would you like to play pro football, and who has talked to you? What teams are they talking to you now, or what are your thoughts about where you may get drafted?
I'm not really focused on that, you know what I'm saying? I'm just living day by day. I can only control what I can control, you know what I'm saying? That's not something I can control, so I'm just living out day by day until the day comes. So, and I know whoever take me, they're going to see the potential in me, and it's going to be a dream come true, you know what I'm saying?
A lot of Longhorns this year that are projected to be drafted. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously all you pass catchers. You know, Xavier, AD, you.
You saw Jordan last night.
You saw Jordan Whittington last night at the old Deep Eddy Cabaret, our home away from home. Are you all training together? Or are you all kind of preparing for the draft together? How is that process going?
I think everybody's just doing their own thing. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Everybody got different things they need to work on and different things they're going through. So everybody's just kind of doing their own thing.
Yeah.
If there was a dream place for you to go, where would you want to go?
From Denton, Texas, tell me it's the Cowboys, please.
A dream place? I wouldn't have a problem going there, you know, just being grown up from Denton. I would definitely not have a problem there. But as of right now, I really don't have a dream team. Like I said, I just know whoever does pick me, they see the potential. I know they're going to use me in the right way.
You're being very diplomatic about this. Let me ask you this. Do you care whether you're playing in a cold weather situation versus warm weather when you're catching passes? And
you know, I would prefer warm. You know, as soon as you jam a finger, it's a
we don't do cold down here.
That finger ain't no joke, man.
Yeah.
How have you prepared for the increase of level in play in the NFL? Is there there drills you're doing differently? Because obviously, you know, it's no secret in college football, it's the toughest task, especially Big 12 where you were playing. But NFL is going to be. It's the big leagues. Is there anything you're doing differently to prepare?
Not really. I feel like at the highest level, you really got to hone in on the fundamentals, and that's really kind of day one things, you know what I'm saying? Because fundamentals show up the most in games. You look at teach tapes from the people in the league, it's real fundamental. So I've been trying to work on that, trying to get my fundamentals back right, and just trying to work on my weaknesses, you know what I'm saying, get stronger, work on my run blocking, you know what I'm saying, work on the top of my route. So just trying to work on my craft.
Yeah.
How fun was this year? Because we were there just about every game.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
God, it was a fun year. What was the highlight of the year for you in this Texas season?
I got to say Tuscaloosa, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
that atmosphere, and then just going there and doing what we did. One of the teams to do that was like the past 20 years or something like that. So just to do there and leave that burnt orange down there, it was a great feeling, man.
What do you think about next year? First year in the SEC. I mean, I'm sure there'll be times where you'll be like, oh, I wish I was playing in this.
Sure.
Texas right now is one of the heavy favorites to make the playoffs again, as y'all did this year. What do you think about the future in the SEC?
I definitely think they're going to have success. You know, Coach Sark comes from SEC.
Yeah.
He has SEC mentality. I feel like he has all the pieces that he wants on his team, and I know he's going to put them in the right positions.
Yeah.
How good can the Longhorns be next year with Quinn Ewers? Many people thought Quinn was going to join you in the draft, but he's staying for another year. How do you think the Hornets can be next year?
No doubt. I think Quinn can take them all the way. Just the improvements he's shown over the past 2-3 years. And coming into his senior year, I know he's got a chip on his shoulder. I know he's going to be locked in more than ever. So I can't wait to see what he does for them.
And what about that Manning kid? Mm-hmm. What's that Manning kid's name?
Arch. Yeah.
Arch. His picture's already on the wall over here.
I know.
What are your thoughts about Arch Manning? I know, mm-hmm. as a Longhorn fan, I want Quinn to play every game and every stay healthy, yada-da-da-da-da, but that's a nice backup to have. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Arch is going to be a great player, you know what I'm saying? He's came in since day one and got straight to work. He's mature, quick, and is shown. I think when he gets his opportunities this year, he's going to take advantage of that.
As a tight end, y'all are kind of tasked with, you know, you have two difficult things. You got to block.
Yes.
You also got to have to play like a receiver.
Yep.
You know, practicing and training, how are you splitting that up? You know, mm-hmm. like a receiver, you just go catch balls. You run
sure.
routes all day long. An O-lineman, you block. You work on blocking. Yep. How do you kind of split
that? For sure.
That?
Working on certain things for certain things, you know, whether that's work every day starting practice hitting the sled, you know, just run blocking on the sled, that'll help my run blocking, or doing like a 4-cone drill to help me work on the top of my routes. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of did that in practice, and I'm taking that from what I did in practice into my workouts now.
What feels better, a pancake block or a sideline tiptoe catch?
I got to say pancake, you know what I'm saying, because you just get that certain dominance over somebody.
Yeah.
For sure. No doubt.
Do you have a role model in the NFL? Is it Kelsey? Is it Kittle? Is it Dalton Schultz? Somebody else that you think, I want to be the next that guy?
I wouldn't say I want to be like anybody else. I want to be me, you know what I'm saying? But I do take things from the greats, you know what I'm saying? Kelsey, Kittle, even some of the rooks this year, LaPorta, you know what I'm saying? They understand the game. They understand defense, understand leverage. That's why they have so much success.
It's a good time to be a tight end, wouldn't you say? I mean, you know.
No doubt.
I'm 29. I'm used to seeing, you know, Gronk. I'm seeing these guys. But tight ends, I feel like nowadays, are more of a security blanket for quarterbacks. And, you know, you being probably the second best, one of the top two best tight ends on this draft board, it's a commodity to have a tight end.
Facts.
I feel like it's the tight end position in the NFL has really increased its efficiency.
Yes, no doubt. That's why you got to see a lot of guys like me, Brock Cade, and just other more pass-catching tight ends that will have much success at the next level.
Now, I'll be like an uncle.
By the way, I think you're the best tight end off the board.
That guy
from Georgia, I just look
appreciate
at the list. Like, this guy from Georgia really didn't do much.
Yeah.
I didn't see him in the playoffs.
I didn't see him in the playoffs either. Now, let me be like your uncle or whatever. Have you got a good agent, a good lawyer?
Oh, yes.
All that stuff.
Yes.
Scotty over here is an agent.
Okay.
He's a golf
I'm
agent.
Available. I can go over to football.
His client won two Masters.
His client won two Masters golf tournaments and everything. Thing. Now, where are you going to be draft night, and what's your plans for the next few weeks before the draft?
Sure. I'm still working out here in Austin. You know, I plan to be back home, back in my hometown. I plan on doing something for my city, for like they can come out and share this experience with me. So, because I know they've been watching me, supporting me since I was a little kid. They've known who I am, and I know I've made them proud. So, I want to share this experience with them and allow them to share it with me as well. So,
there's a ton of quarterbacks that are going to be taken in the first round. Good Lord. Caleb Williams, Drake May, that damn guy Michael Penix, son of a gun. But it's exciting times for quarterbacks, too.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Was there a moment, Jatavion, in your career? I mean, we watched you. I mean, we're all diehard Longhorn fans. Was there a moment in your career where you thought, like, this is going to happen. I'm going to go to the NFL. Like, I have this talent. Or is it kind of just slowly trickled on you, like, I think I can do this?
I kind of had that confidence in myself in high school, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just putting the hard work in and getting my first couple offers, I kind of knew all the hard work was paying off. And then coming to Texas and having success, changing my position, just gaining confidence in myself, gaining confidence in myself at the position, and just going out there dominating on the field, I've kind of just lived out a childhood dream, like I said earlier, competing at one of the highest levels in college, and then trying to go 3 years, you know what I'm saying? That's every kid's dream who plays football, want to go 3 years and done. And so having the opportunity to go 3 years and done, I've made the most of that.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for stopping by. This
for
is
sure.
our hangout any Saturday.
Yeah.
You got an off week, go to Longhorn game, come here. I'll buy you many milkshakes, whatever you need there, Timo Sabe.
Sure.
But hey, congratulations and good luck. I hope you go.
Yeah.
You're going to go, just don't know when.
Yes.
But you're going to have a great career.
Yes, sir.
Keep on keeping on, and just
we'll be getting jerseys
for
wherever
sure.
you go. We're getting jerseys.
Well,
for sure.
Ben used to throw passes to Zay Jones.
Yeah,
he's
in the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay.
We got a buddy at the Forest, their starting center, friend of our program.
Yeah.
And you're now added to the list.
You're added to the list.
Thank you.
Jatavion, thank you so much for being with us on KLBJ.
Yes, sir. Thank
Jatavion
you so
Sanders, tight end for the Texas Longhorns. We'll be back with more from Dirty Martin's Place right after this. Hey, we're back on the End Zone Club. I'm Ed Clements along with Ben Clements and Scotty Sayers. Our show proudly brought to you by Howery, Breen, and Herman Attorneys at Law, Plains Capital Bank. Thank you, Paul Hollebeck and crew. Thank you, Randy Howery, Howery, Breen, and Herman. Pokey Joe's Barbecue, a great place for Texas barbecue tonight. The best side dishes in town, plus wonderful, wonderful brisket, ribs and sausage and chicken and turkey. Sue Patrick at 5222 Burnett Road. I was there this afternoon with Jay and Sue. They got all the great Longhorn gear. And by our host, Dirty Martin's Place. May 4th, big celebration, fellas, the 98th birthday party for Dirty Martin's Place. They'll be announcing some huge, huge things going on May the 4th as they celebrate 98 years here in the capital city. Thank you, Mark Niemer and Daniel and all the crew. We'll be giving you details about the big celebration here at Dirty Martin's Place. Jatavion Sanders, thank you for being with us. That's a big human being, fellas.
Yeah, he is. Big guy. I mean, it's funny seeing NFL players in person because we watch them on TV and, you know, they look big but not that big. But when you get next to an NFL player, my Lord, they are freaks of nature in human size.
And he is the most prolific with reception-wise in the history of the University of Texas. I know Texas passes the ball a heck of a lot more. You think back to tight ends for the Longhorns, and he is he's got a bright, bright future.
It's one guy that Texas next year. I know he's Sarkisian. He's got his guys, and they got a plethora of players, but he's one guy that Quinn Ewers will really miss next season because he was, like I said, the security blanket.
Yeah.
When all else fails, Jatavion Sanders was always open. He's a guy that'll be sorely missed next season.
Now, you know, we're going to be here May 4th. I talked about the celebration. We're going to have the big celebration until the summertime. But we're going to be here celebrating on May 4th with all our friends at Dirty Martin's. But they're going to have the largest, the biggest celebration later on this summer. Mm-hmm. But we'll be here May 4th.
What have they got planned? I mean, I know they're going to have
burgers,
music
wings.
Probably. And
they're going to have it all. They're going to have it all. But they're going to make this a little later in the summertime, I just learned from our friend Mark. So.
Okay.
But we're going to be here celebrating. We celebrate every Saturday here at Dirty Martin's.
I tell you what, there's a big crowd here tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're celebrating, but they're having fun.
Jatavion can't get out of here because everybody wants his autograph out there. So
okay,
that was
guys,
kinda cool.
Let's switch gears real quick.
Okay.
Masters week next week. And real quick, actually, Scotty, you always do a great job. You always bring us the latest Save Muni gear. And I think the newest hats, the Save Muni hats, are fantastic. Go to SaveMuni.com. Anybody out there that's listening, go to SaveMuni.com. Help support Muni because it has...
Well, that's a Masters
gear.
Green right
it's
there.
It's a Masters Green. Always have the best hats, the best shirts, the best merchandise. SaveMuni.com to go get you all your Save Muni gear.
Yeah, and the putting green's looking good over there. And a lot of people will be watching the Masters in the clubhouse and at Cisco's over there.
So Masters next week. We have the was it 9 live guys or 12 live guys? How many?
13.
13 live guys playing.
Yeah.
A lot of the live guys are at the top of the favorite board. We talked last hour with Mark Brooks about who we like. And I want to ask you guys about the state of the Masters and how people are already saying how this is de facto one of the only four important tournaments, whether it's PGA or LIV, that are actually going to have all the eyes that really matter. And how we've kind of transitioned to a state where the four majors, that's it.
Ben, let me jump in. It's just like the world of tennis.
Yeah.
Because people don't care about tennis unless it's the Australian Open, the U.S. Open, and Wimbledon and the French Open. That's four tournaments. The rest of the world, you don't watch tennis on a weekly basis.
Unless you're a diehard.
Unless you're a diehard. But for the majors, I think we've come to that with LIV, Scotty. Until we get some type of merger or a super league, it's going to be the majors to me.
Yeah, and the LIV has a big presence at Augusta, but they'll have a presence at the U.S. Open and at the British Open, maybe a little less so at the PGA. You know, some of the LIV players will try to qualify for the U.S. Open if they're not eligible otherwise.
It's an Open.
Or the British Open.
That.
It's an Open. That's right. So if they're not qualified through some other way that's automatic, then they'll do that.
I've been scouring the Internet you know, all week long? Because the whole thing, what's the story? What's the storyline this year? Is it Tiger Woods making his return after his injuries and withdrawing last time we saw him? Is it Scottie Scheffler? Can he keep this incredible streak going? Will it be Jon Rahm going back-to-back, or will it be a LIV player taking hold of the Masters? What do you? What is y'all's like biggest storyline?
My biggest storyline is Thursday when I start watching the golf tournament. I'm going to be delighted to see Brooks Koepka, Sergio Garcia, Dustin Johnson, and all the LIV guys. I haven't seen Jon Rahm hit a shot all year long. I've not seen the guy hit a shot.
Yeah.
And I think as a golf fan, I'm hungry to see those guys that I love to watch that we saw here in Austin at the Dell Match Play. That's what I'm looking forward to.
People actually watching some of their old favorite players again.
Yeah, because with all due respect from our friends at KI, whose ownership has the CW Network, I haven't watched a shot of LIV golf all year long. I'm sorry. I want to see those guys on ESPN and then CBS over the weekend.
I haven't watched much LIV golf. I've watched a little bit, but it is. It's just different with the shotgun start and the short pants and the loud music. And they're good golf, really good golf being played out there, but it's just different. It's an acquired taste, let's say. Glad to see our friend Sergio playing well this week.
That is really great. Because Sergio, you see him, Scotty, play at Austin Golf Club, and he lights it up out there. And I know that's not Augusta National, but still, you got to golf your ball pretty good at Austin Golf Club and around Austin.
Well, the greens are darn near as fast as Augusta National out there, which I think is why he likes playing there.
Yeah.
He's a plus eight, by the way, which means that he shoots 62 or 63 on a regular basis.
Who do y'all think? Do you think, is there any likelihood this year that the field in the Masters this year is stacked? It's a lot of notable guys that we all know. The top 25, anybody could win it. But do you think we could be seeing another season where an unknown will win it? Kind of like when Jordan Spieth got beat.
Danny Willett.
He was a fairly unknown. Do you think we're in the works of seeing one of those this year, or is it too stacked for the top 25?
Well, we talked about it earlier today on the 15th Club about Aberg or Joaquin Niemann, one of the players that's a good young player that has some wins under their belt. But they haven't seen a lot of Augusta Nationals, so you don't know about that. I think the story, Ben, to me, there's two. Well, three counting Tiger. The other one is Scottie Scheffler being so darn hot, and then Rory again trying to get the monkey off his back.
I think Aberg, the Texas Tech player, what a season he's had and what a career he's had. What a year and a half he's had, but he's a guy that can make some noise this week. Where has Victor Hovland been the last month or so?
Yeah,
Victor Hovland is one of those guys that's always steps up for a major. What about somebody like a Cantlay or a Max Homa?
Wyndham Clark.
Clark is the guy that I really, really, really like because this guy is hard-nosed, take-no-prisoners type of guy. I like Wyndham Clark this week as well, but I'm with you, Scotty Sears. I pick Brooks Koepka because I think he plays well in majors, but how can you not pick Scottie Scheffler? And also, I'm hoping like crazy Jordan Spieth has a great tournament.
Yeah,
he seems to get up for the Masters and always has a good tournament there. Phil Mickelson finished second there last year. People forget that.
Yeah, it was like a backdoor second cover.
Yeah, it was. I don't think he wasn't close to winning, but birdied maybe 17 or 18 to finish second.
Last round back nine, he had like four birdies or something.
How will the reception be, you think, for the LIV players at Augusta? Anything? You know, we in the media make stuff of it, but Scotty, how will you embrace the managers?
Boo!
Our friend David Winkle and others who have players of the LIV Tour. How will that be?
You wonder how much is the managers encouraging the players to take the money, or it's the players doing it. I don't know, but I do know it at the Masters last year, which was really kind of the first full year of LIV. They were treated fine. There was nothing, and Ben said there was nothing in the champions' dinner. There was a little bit of unease at the beginning, but once everybody walked in the room, they were just happy to be there.
Well, if there was no contention last year, it'll be even probably more smooth this year, because if anything, let it out last year. Scotty, you're going to the Masters, heading out this week. I want to ask you this too, Dad. What is the first thing you do when you get on the grounds at Augusta National? What's the first thing you do?
Well, I usually go with Ben on Sunday, Ben Crenshaw, my friend, and he registers, and I get my shopping out of the way on Sunday before the crowds come in for the practice rounds. I mean, you ask, it's kind of a trite answer that I go shopping first, but I do.
I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah.
I'm not going this year, but every time I'd go, I would walk in and take a look and just take, wow, I am lucky to be here. Mm-hmm. And I did that for many, many years, and I would walk up to the big tree and think about the times with Scotty and with you, Ben, under the big tree, and especially think of our friend Dan Jenkins, who liked to hang out on the tree and had words of wisdom. And it is just, as Jim Nantz says, a place like no other Augusta National. But I'd go after the egg salad sandwich pretty quick, too.
You know, and the old-fashioned.
You know what my first memory of Augusta is, guys? You might remember this, Pop. My first time going was probably, I don't know, 2000-something. Me and Dad walked in. First, it was dawn. It was pretty dark, it was dawn. We walked in. Only one person was standing around, Scott Van Pelt. Remember that? And we talked to Scott Van Pelt for 20 minutes. And my first memory of Augusta, and probably my most fond memory of Augusta.
Yeah. Scott, now the press is way out. Media center way away from the clubhouse.
Scotty, have a great trip.
Thank you, Ed.
We expect your call next Saturday from Augusta during the show, but thanks a million. Have a great trip to Augusta National. Have fun tomorrow. Big fun tomorrow. We got to take a break. News is next here on KLBJ Radio. Ed and Blinn, more of the End Zone Club. Hey, we're back on the End Zone Club live from Dirty Martin's Place. I'm Ed Clements along with Ben Clements. Our show proudly brought to you by Howery, Breen, and Herman, attorneys at law. Plains Capital Bank, thank you, Paul Hall, Yvette, and crew. And thank you, Randy Howery, with Howery, Breen, and Herman. Pokey Joe's Barbecue, Great Texas Barbecue, right here in Austin, locations throughout Austin and Central Texas. Mouth-watering brisket, pork ribs, sausage, chicken, and turkey, and quite frankly, the best side dishes you'll ever have. That's Pokey Joe's Barbecue. Make it Pokey Joe's tonight. By Sue Patrick, 5222 Burnett Road, home of the Austin Snow Globe and home to everything Longhorn. Men's, women, and children's gear from Sue Patrick, 5222 Burnett Road. And by Dirty Martin's Place, our home away from home. Thank you, Mark and Daniel and Jake and crew. And a special happy birthday today, Ben, to our friend Pete Ademski of Delaware Sub, celebrating a birthday today. Pedro, the number one Philadelphia Eagles fan of all of Central Texas. If you missed it, we talked a lot of football the first half hour. Jatavion Sanders, the Longhorn tight end, was here, who will be playing somewhere in the NFL. It's going to be fun to watch Jatavion Sanders play for an NFL team.
Yeah.
Hope he gets drafted by a really good team. Hope he does with a really good quarterback.
I do, too. You know, it's going to be an interesting draft. There's a lot of fantastic receivers in the draft, a hell of a lot of quarterbacks. Texas obviously has many players that are eligible for the draft.
Xavier Worthy,
A.D. Mitchell. Jatavion, a couple D-linemen. Texas has a lot of talent, which we didn't see for a while. Texas was not having first-round talent for a long, long time. It's good seeing Texas back in the mix of things. I want to talk real quick, actually, because I don't think we've talked a lot about it on the show. Jerry Jones is dead to me.
Well,
Jerry Jones, I haven't ran it in a while, but Jerry Jones is dead to me. There's been a lot of talk recently about players that were free agents that would have preferred and liked to have gone to the Cowboys that didn't even get the opportunity. Derrick Henry being the most notable. How I feel like Derrick Henry is getting interviewed more often about his lack of contact with the Cowboys than his decision to leave and get signed elsewhere. And every time I see Derrick Henry say, yeah, they didn't call me, but I would have been really excited, my blood boils as a Cowboys fan.
Derrick Henry lives in Dallas. Yeah. He's got ties in Dallas. He wanted to play for the Cowboys. They didn't approach Derrick Henry, formerly of the Tennessee Titans, so Derrick Henry is now a Baltimore Raven. The Cowboys, I don't know. I like Deuce Vaughn, but
he's tiny. He's
not an everyday running back, Ben.
He's not.
I don't know what Jerry has done. You look at Saquon Barkley, who's gone to the arch rival of the Cowboys, the Philadelphia Eagles. Every team has improving. Jeff and I talked about this on ESPN. You look at the Houston Texans, and we talked about this week.
Oh, my Lord.
Right now, the Houston Texans, in my eyes, are better than the Dallas Cowboys. Right now, they're better.
If you want to talk about a big three, which is your receiver, running back, quarterback, they got a pretty damn good big three. Joe Mixon at running back. He's a great, great everyday running back.
Dalton Schultz at tight end.
You just signed Stephon Diggs to not the biggest contract. He's on a one-year contract with a – well, he'll be a free agent after 1 year, but they got options. And then they have maybe the best young quarterback in the NFL who's proven that he belongs and he's NFL MVP caliber. The Texans' big three far and away outbeats the Cowboys' big three.
The Cowboys have Dak Prescott, who's coming off a very, very good year. They lost terribly in the playoff to Green Bay. But he has C.D. Lamb.
That's all.
He's got C.D. Lamb.
That's all he has.
And that's it. Tony Pollard has gone to Tennessee. They're talking about bringing back Ezekiel Elliott. He's a really, really nice guy.
He's a great guy.
But his days are past as a legitimate running back in the NFL, in my opinion.
He enjoyed Texas too much. The man could not quit eating Tex-Mex and enchiladas. He's gained a few LBs. It's perplexing to me that Jerry Jones did not see the writing on the wall, that Dak Prescott is not a franchise quarterback, because you know what? He got you to the playoffs.
He did.
He won you a play. He's won you a playoff game before, but he's not a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. And you had Derrick Henry, who, yes, he's 30. He's a little bit on the older scale for NFL terms, but you had Derrick Henry, who was willing, wanting, and able to come to Dallas, and you didn't even give him a phone call? What are you smoking in that office, Jerry Jones?
And how motivated is Derrick Henry going to be when he goes and plays for Baltimore and Lamar Jackson? He completes that piece of the puzzle. He takes pressure off of Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson doesn't have to be their number one rusher anymore. Yeah. That is a great addition to that Baltimore Raven team.
Yeah.
But I wonder what Jerry and Steven are thinking. I don't know if there's a trade available, if they're going to make any type of trade. But right now, you've got an unknown running back, and you've got Deuce Vaughn as your running backs for the Cowboys. I know they're talking about doing something with Dak's contract. If I'm Dak Prescott, I say, okay, let's wait until next year. Because if Dak Prescott, wait until after the season. Dak has a great year. Jerry Jones is going to want to keep him, but he may do a Kirk Cousins and say, hey, I want to go someplace else where the grass is greener, or I may have a shot at winning a championship.
The fact of the matter is, the running back position is it's not what it used to be, but nevertheless, it's an important position, and it makes a difference. Having a good running back, that's good for two games, at least two wins a year, and Deuce Vaughn, God love him. He was great at Kansas State.
He was great.
He ripped Texas apart a few times, but he's too small. He's not fast enough to be the everyday back for the Cowboys. And for some reason, Jerry Jones has let every good running back that was a free agent slip away within a matter of 48 hours.
I tell you what, a year ago, we were talking about Dalton Schultz leaving the Cowboys to go to the Texans. And that's when we said, what is going on with Dalton Schultz? Is he crazy? The Texans at that time had C.J. Stroud. It might have even been before the draft.
A year ago, the Texans were dead in the water.
They were dead in the water. They might have won three games, but we thought, what is Dalton Schultz doing? He had a one-year deal at not a heck of a whole lot of money. Now Dalton Schultz is one of the leading tight ends in the AFC. He's got a red-hot quarterback. He's got a team that won a playoff game. And he's got a team that's going to be favored to win their division in the AFC.
Yeah, they're young and they're feisty, and I think they have some of the most talent. And they got a great coach, and they have some veterans. I think Joe Mixon at running back, he's been around the block. He had a great career at Cincinnati. They got Stephon Diggs, who kind of went crossways with our buddies in Buffalo. We got to talk about that, by the way. What are we going to do?
Oh, I know. What are we going to do about Buffalo?
What are we going to do about Buffalo?
Do we have to get a Jacksonville?
I guess we're a Jacksonville Jaguar.
I think we're going to get Jatavion Sanders.
Wherever Jatavion goes, we're now his team's. Yeah. So TBD.
But ironically, on Jacksonville, you've got Zay Jones, friend of the show, and our friend Mitch Morris.
We're friends with 20% of that offense. We're Jacksonville people now, baby. Let's go to Florida. The Texans, though, they got it right. They got to write a book about the turnaround that they've done in Houston because they were, like we said, dead in the water. C.J. Stroud, he pulled the pieces together, and they put together a great club. Joe Mixon is a great running back. He's a veteran. Stephon Diggs, again, like I said, he went crossways with Buffalo, but he's reliable, and when he's good, he's the top three receiver in the country.
He is. He really is.
C.J. Stroud.
Well, the Joe Mixon deal alleviates so much, pressure from C.J. Stroud and the passing game. And that guy will get you 3.5 yards every time he touches the ball.
He's one of the best running backs in the country in the NFL. I've had him on a fantasy team, and he's always a workhorse. So Texans, I'm calling it right now. Texans will get a Super Bowl before the Cowboys do at this point.
We're going to take a break, and after this break, we'll get you up to date on the game between Purdue and NC State, preview UConn and Bama. We'll talk Longhorn baseball and much, much more. We will return to the End Zone Club live from Dirty Martin's here on KLBJ.
Back on the End Zone Club on News Radio KLBJ, live from Dirty Martin's place on Guadalupe Street. Thank you, our great friends over at Harry Breed and Herman, Plains Capital Bank, Pokey Joe's Barbecue, Sue Patrick at 5222 Burnett Road, and Dirty Martin's place. We've been talking about the NFL, the state of the Cowboys, and the NFL draft. Thank you to Jatavion Sanders for joining us in that first segment as he gets ready for the NFL draft, one of a slew of Texas Longhorns that are in this year's draft, highlighted by three of the best ball catchers we've seen in recent memory. So thank you to Jatavion Sanders for joining us in that first segment. What a great guy he is, Pop.
Yeah, he is, and I was thinking, I didn't want to bring this up. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking on that.
Why did they not go to you in New Orleans in the Sugar Bowl?
Yeah.
AD's a great choice, but you're the biggest body on that field.
Yeah, that's exactly
I
what
to say the same thing.
That's what I was thinking.
And
I wanted
where was the 1 minute? Where was the 1 minute offense?
I wanted to ask him that, but I didn't want him to walk out or punch me. But I was thinking the same thing, that it would have been great to see him, because big body, and such a great receiver.
He's one of those guys that he can make an immediate impact in the NFL. So we'll be excited to watch him wherever he goes, because guys like Jatavion and Jordan Whittington and Xavier Worthy, they're guys that will always have a special place in Austin with UT, for what they did, their loyalty, and bringing the Texas brand back to the national spotlight for the better, not for the worse.
I think he said he made the decision to go pro with his family, and I'm sure he talked to Coach Sarkisian and everybody. It was time for him to go, but just imagine if he would be here next year for Quinn Ewers. Yeah. He would have a mammoth season. Saying that, he's already the leading receiver in Longhorn history.
Okay, Final Four. Purdue leads North Carolina State 49-42. 2 minutes left in this ball game. This is a game where Purdue was a heavy favorite, 9.5-point favorite over North Carolina State. Zach Edey, 18 points right now against DJ Burns, is only 8 points. He's holding DJ Burns, who really took the country by storm. He got the country's heart.
Yeah.
DJ Burns, you can't not love the guy.
Oh, I love the guy.
6'8", 375 pounds. His side business is I told you about this, right?
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
It's the snack machines.
Snack machines.
What do they call it?
Snack machines. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah,
it's like he was like a mobster with the convenience stuff. And we love him. I love DJ Burns, but Zach Edey within Purdue, when you got a guy that's 7'4", who can shoot, it's pretty hard to guard that in college basketball.
It is. And they've closed the gap. It was a bigger gap early on. A couple of minutes to play, but it looks like right now it's going to be Purdue, and I think it's probably going to be UConn, even though, Alabama's been upstart. That's the second game tonight.
When was the last time? So Alabama-UConn, it tips off at 7:49 Central Time here in Austin. UConn is a 10.5-point favorite. When was the last time you saw a Final Four where – total, it was minus 19.5.
I don't know. 20. It's probably because you've had some Cinderellas in this deal, but no, this is just Purdue and UConn are the two dominant teams, along with the Houston Cougars.
Yeah, and that's the team that should have been in.
Right.
God bless. Shed, who got injured in that game early, and it really, I don't want to say he cost him the game, but that injury cost it.
Oh, the injury did
cost them the game. It's tough, but it just kind of tickles me the wrong way, and there's nothing, it is what it is, but seeing the Final Four games where the first game is, 9.5-point favorite, then a 10.5-point favorite, it kind of takes away the anticipation and the, we might have a too close game.
It will be a close game, I think, if Purdue goes on the win, and I think UConn will defeat Alabama. That will be one heck of a matchup for the national championship.
Well, UConn, they're 35-3. It's tough to do, no matter who you are,
right,
who you got on the team. I think we're all expecting UConn to win tonight. But Alabama, a team that
they've
never been to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Throughout the season, they were looked at as one of the best teams in college basketball. They drifted away towards the end of the season, but they've obviously gone on this miraculous run. is there a chance we'll see football school Alabama?
It would be
playing
interesting
host in the national championship.
Now, also in women's basketball last night, we saw Caitlin Clark and Iowa defeat
Paige
UConn.
Beakers,
and in that game,
you watched it, right?
I watched all the game, and it's very controversial because of a call late in the game. And I can't believe we're talking about women's basketball. But because of Caitlin Clark.
No, because as I said last week, women's basketball college,
it's exciting,
has become such a good product.
Yes.
And this is nothing.
We saw it here all year long.
No disparity on the WNBA.
Yeah.
Women's college basketball is fantastic basketball.
And we saw that here in Austin with Vic's team. The Texas women one game away from going to the Final Four. But in that game, it was seesaw back and forth. Mm-hmm. But UConn had a chance to make a shot. And there's a foul, an offensive foul, on a UConn player.
Call it an illegal screen when she put her arms out, her shoulders out, and Paige Buechers got the ball and she looked like she was getting ready to release there.
Yeah,
that was a bad call. Is there any chance that they want Caitlin Clark in the championship that bad that they would tinker with it?
I don't think so. I think the referees became involved in the game. For goodness sakes, it was under 10 seconds to play.
Yeah.
You let the players play, unless it's some type of an egregious deal, but you let the players play. That's my only objection. It could have, if with 15 minutes to play in the game, I think that might have been a foul. But within 5 seconds to play, you let them play. Now, Iowa and Caitlin Clark will face South Carolina tomorrow afternoon.
Carolina is 37-0. This is the perfect situation.
In
for
no
the
way South Carolina loses tomorrow.
No, I saw they're 6.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
But this is a great storyline. This is something college basketball needs. They need a bold storyline. You have the best player in college basketball women's history, maybe one of the best college
against
basketball
great
players
team.
Of all time,
yeah.
against the undefeated 37-0 Gamecocks.
This is like Jimmy Chitwood and Hoosiers. This is like Jimmy Chitwood.
Yeah.
In that great movie, What was the name of that movie?
Hoosiers?
Hoosiers, yeah.
It was literally called Hoosiers.
Hoosiers.
40.
But, this is the situation with Caitlin Clark tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be a fantastic game. That game is tomorrow, 2 p.m. Why is it the national championship? Is it 2 p.m.
tip-off? I don't know.
What are we doing? What is the disrespect to women's college basketball?
That should be a night game. That should be a Sunday night game.
We're playing golf.
Yeah, I know we're playing golf
tomorrow.
I'll
be watching from the golf cart.
Yeah, we'll watch
screaming.
Yeah.
Taking everyone at Caitlin Clark's prop bets.
Yeah, that's right. And she's going to have a big game tomorrow because she did not have a great game last night because they were double-teaming her. Let's shift gears. Talk about Longhorn baseball. BYU defeats Texas in the final game of the three-game set, 7-5 this afternoon at Dish Falk Field. The Longhorns fall to 19-13 on the year. BYU improves to 13-15. BYU wins 2 of 3. This is ridiculous. I like David Pierce a heck of a whole lot. Mm-hmm. David Pierce, you need to go find a pitching coach. You know who the pitching coach is for Texas?
Houston Street.
David Pierce is the pitching coach. You've got to go.
Houston Street was on that. He was on the coaching. He was helped for a little while, was he?
He helped a little bit. Yeah, but no, he was never a coach.
They got to go get somebody like Houston Street.
You got to go get a pitching coach.
Yeah,
and that's been the bugaboo because BYU, a team with a losing record, they went out to a 6-1 lead after three innings. And, I like David Pierce. He's taking this team to Omaha, but something is not right with this team.
Well, when you're a year past, going to Omaha to make it to the College World Series, that's troubling. Texas is a baseball
dynasty.
It
is a baseball school,
Ben. It's always going to be a football school. Yeah. But Texas is historic, five national championships. Coming off of the Augie Garrido days, David Pierce he looked promising. He made it to the College World Series three of his first four seasons. But this is a very bad come down. The Texas pitching has been so lackluster. They're not making up for it with their hitting. At one point, they had the most home runs in Big 12 play, but you got to do more than hitting home runs. Augie Garrido, small ball.
Yeah.
You get a man on first, you bunt him to second,
yeah.
you find his way home. This is not good for David Pierce. At what point is Chris Del Conte and Kevin Eltife going to start looking for the next guy? And I don't know these college baseball coaches. I don't know who the next guy up would be.
Yeah.
But Texas baseball fans they're like Texas football fans. Not a lot of patience. You expect College World Series, you expect finals every season, every other season, and this is not going to last long for David Pierce this continues.
You don't lose a series at home to a BYU team with no pedigree and a losing record. This BYU team came in Austin with a losing record, and they won Thursday night. Texas won last night, and then BYU wins today by a score of 7-5. I don't know. I like David Pierce a lot, but boy, go get a pitching coach, man. Yeah. You got to do something to right this ship, because you're going to look up and you're going to be hard pressed with a 19-13 record right now. There have been years, Ben, I can count on both hands, there's years when Texas never lost 13 regular season games.
Yeah.
You know, that's the bad part of this. I know competition is good, but again, the University of Texas has the most money of any school in the Big 12 this year to go get players, to go get coaches.
The problem is, Pop, and you know this, and so does David Pierce, it is not going to get easier next season in the SEC, the powerhouse of college baseball athletics.
Are you kidding me?
It's not going to get much better.
That is going to be hellacious for the Longhorns next year. By the way, I was just looking at a breaking story from ESPN. Iowa, again, draws record ratings in Final Four win over UConn. Again, it was a most-watched game now. 13 million viewers watched this game between UConn and Iowa last night.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal for the women's game.
I know. I was watching live. I was watching the Deep Eddy Cabaret. They had the entire bar glued to the TV.
Is that
watching.
Not cool? Isn't that cool?
It's great. I think it's because it's a good product, and that's the problem. That's what WNBA has got to figure out. They've got to find a way to market and grasp on to the storylines the college basketball women's has. Tomorrow's championship, so be it. It's at 2 o'clock.
I hate it's at 2 o'clock.
I hate it's at 2 o'clock. Yeah. It's going to draw a lot of fans.
Sure.
I'm hoping that this, you know, the championship on Monday night in the men's will have the same effect. But right now, social media, the people, they're talking about Caitlin Clark.
They're
talking about South Carolina's perfect season. That's the talk. It's not Purdue and Zach Edey. It's not Alabama. It's not DJ Burns. It's not UConn. It's
sure.
Caitlin Clark.
It's going to be interesting to see what her decision is. She'll go to the,
NBA.
WNBA and make $75,000 a year. But will she go and joined a three-on-three team for $5 million.
Who owns that again?
Ice-T. Ice Cube.
I hate you.
Ice-T.
Ice Cube.
Ice Cube.
NWA.
Okay.
We can't play the music on the radio here, but look it up afterwards.
Kyle, thank you so much. Back in the studio, great job. Jake and the great folks at Dirty Martin's Place, come watch basketball tonight. Ben, it's been fun. Thank you, Scotty Sayers and Mark Brooks, and especially Jatavian Sanders. We got to go. We'll see you next week. Master Saturday, next Saturday here. From Dirty Martin's on the End Zone Club. So long, everybody.